CL-123.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1584, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, October the 15th, 2024, which in UTC time is Wednesday, October the 16th at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, WF5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. The PL tone is 123.0. And I will now take local check-ins.
Whiskey, Delta 5, Juliet, Romeo Delta, WD5JRD, Carl, Jersey Village, good evening.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, good evening, Carl, WD5JRD, up there in Jersey Village. You've got very loud audio. Audio sounds good tonight. Did you recently change radios?
Roger. I'll try not to talk so loud.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Just wondering what was going on. Yeah, sounds good. So, okay, let's see. Hear anybody else out there? So, let's see. I guess we'll go ahead and get started. We do have, let's see, a little bit of South Texas Balloon Launch Team information, our usual monthly announcement, and that is the South Texas Balloon Launch Team has their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. So that would be probably like tomorrow, or no, actually, it was last week. Okay, this is a funky week, or a funky month for the numbers. But, okay, anyway, they usually have their meeting there at a local restaurant around 4:30 in the afternoon, and then at 8 p.m. Central Time, they have their Zoom meeting, and that takes place over on Zoom, and that's at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter putting that on for us there. And let's see. So this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, we want to remind everybody, if you'd like to call and check into the net, the number is 713-467-9870 for a quick phone check-in. And you can also send an email. That's to wv5y@comcast.net. And also, you can send an APRS message. That's to West Virginia 5 Yankee. No dashes, no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And that will work as well. So we did actually get a message there last week. So, hey, at least we know APRS is still working. Okay, we're switching gears over here, going over to ANS bulletins. This is ANS number 287, the AmSat News Service weekly bulletins. And unfortunately, Hurricane Milton. Well, let's see. First of all, we'll start off with the AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as their volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, the 42nd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting is still set for not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. And unfortunately, Hurricane Milton did impact the Tampa area on October 9th and 10th. As recovery from the storm continues, the AMSAT Symposium team will be in communication with hotel representatives as soon as possible to determine whether the symposium will be able to proceed as planned. We will let all registrants know the status as soon as possible. If the in-person symposium is canceled, we will hold a virtual event on Saturday, October the 26th. I called the hotel today, and actually they're still saying that they have no idea when the hotel will be open again. It is currently closed due to damage from Hurricane Milton. Of course, the 42nd Annual Symposium is scheduled for Friday through Saturday, October 25th through Sunday through the 27th, 2024, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Tampa Rocky Point Waterfront in Tampa, Florida, and unfortunately is still closed after taking damage from Hurricane Milton. So still on the books is scheduled events, which include the AMSAT Board of Directors meeting, the 42nd AMSAT Space Symposium, and Annual General Meeting, which is the presentation of the papers on the October 25th and 26th. There's the Friday night social and auction on October 25th, the AMSAT banquet and reception on the 26th, and the AMSAT Ambassador Breakfast, and all are welcome to that on October the 27th. And, of course, this is if the hotel manages to get everything repaired and gets open in time. It says, if you wish to register guests for the banquet and or breakfast who are not attending the symposium sessions, you must register for each event separately and include your guests with your banquet and breakfast tickets. If you're interested in presenting or submitting a paper for inclusion in the symposium proceedings, please see the call for papers, and that's at www.amsat.org/2024-symposium/call-4-papers-2024. The deadline for symposium registrations, if you want to include the Saturday evening banquet or Sunday breakfast, is Friday, October the 18th, and meals cannot be ordered after that date. Okay, hotel reservations. Well, like I said, the hotel is currently closed. So I tried going to their, actually I called them today and went to their link for making reservations, and neither one are working. They actually just have a recorded message saying that the hotel is closed and they have no idea when it's going to open again. If you'd like to try to call and make reservations still, the number is 813-888-8800, and you can reference AMSAT to receive the group rate. And the standard rate for a standard room with two queen beds is $169, which is a little bit of a discount, plus state and local taxes of 14.5%. Rooms may be available for check-in on Wednesday, October the 23rd, and check-out Sunday, October the 27th, if the hotel is open by then. Note, the Hilton Tampa Bay Rockfront does charge a $20 overnight parking fee, so if you're driving to the symposium or renting a car, take that also into your plans. We at AMSAT are excited and are hoping to be able to host our 42nd annual symposium this year at the hotel, and we hope you can join us in celebrating amateur radio in space. And a tentative schedule still set so far is on Thursday, October the 24th, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., the AMSAT board meeting, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., pre-registration check-in. Now on Friday, October the 25th, 2024, from 8 a.m. to 12 noon is the AMSAT board meeting. It's a closed session. From 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. is registration. From 1 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. is the AMSAT symposium kickoff with the president's welcome. And then from 1:15 p.m. to the paper sessions. And then from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. an informal dinner on your own. Then come back at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and there's the AMSAT reception and auction with a cash bar available. And then Saturday, October the 26th, from 8 to 11:45 a.m. is registration. From 8 a.m. to 8:15 a.m. is the AMSAT symposium welcome. And then from 8 a.m. to noon would be the noon, the paper sessions again. Okay, there's a break for lunch. Then from 1 p.m. to 3:15 p.m., paper sessions continue. And then from 3:30 to 4:45 is the AMSAT annual meeting and awards ceremony. And then from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. is the attitude adjustment or the social with a cash bar. And then there's also a cash bar at the banquet. And that goes on Saturday night from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. And then Sunday, October the 27th, from 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m., is the AMSAT Ambassador Breakfast, and all are welcome. And again, this is tentative on the hotel being open in time. Otherwise, there will be the symposium will happen via a virtual event on Saturday, October the 26th. Okay, time's getting short, so they're going to have to make up their mind and make a decision on what's going to happen there pretty soon. But we want to thank the AMSAT Symposium Committee for that information. And they're still presenting the final call for papers. So papers continue to be accepted for the 42nd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium to be held on the weekend of October 25th to 27th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Tampa Rocky Point Waterfront in Tampa, Florida, if the hotel opens. proposals for symposium papers and presentations or invited on any topic of interest to the amateur satellite community. We request a tentative title of your presentation as soon as possible, with a final copy submitted by October 18th for inclusion in the symposium proceedings. Abstracts and papers should be sent to Dan Schultz, N8FGV, and that's N8FGV at USA.net. And we want to thank Dan Schultz, N8FGV, and SAT Symposium Proceedings Editor for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5OI with the Houston AmSatNet. And there was an ARIS SFTV event that continued until Monday, October the 14th, which was yesterday. So hope everybody managed to copy some pictures or some parts of pictures. ARIS has planned their slow scan television experiment from the ISS, and it started this past Tuesday, and it ran until Monday, October the 14th at 1410 GMT. The transmitted frequency was 145.800 MHz. FM using SSTV mode PD120, and ISS call sign was RF0ISS. And MMSSTV, even though it doesn't have PD120 on the little tabs, it actually still does decode PD120, and you can right click on the tabs and you can actually put PD120 on the tabs as being one of the active modes, so that you can switch to it manually. SSTV transmissions were made using the station in the Russian ISS service module. The equipment used was a Kenwood D710 transceiver running about 25 watts output, which provides a strong signal enabling reception using simple equipment. Images received by amateurs worldwide during previous transmissions can be seen, and that's over at www.spaceflightsoftware.com/ARIS_SSTV. Okay, and note for next time, amateurs can receive the SSTV pictures directly from the space station by connecting the audio output of their 2-meter transceiver via simple interface to the sound card on a Windows PC or an Apple iOS device. On Windows PCs, the free application MMSSTV can be used to decode the signal. On Apple iOS devices, you can use the SSTV app for compatible modes. For Linux system, try QSSTV. Okay, I know folks were able to copy signals even using a 2-meter handheld with a quarter wave antenna, and sometimes that's enough to receive it, but one's chances of success are significantly improved with use of a handheld beam antenna. The FM transmission uses 5 kilohertz deviation, which is standard in much of the world. Many FM rings can be switched between wide and narrow deviation FM filters, so for best results, you should select a filter for wider deviation FM. Most handhelds all seem to have a single wide filter fitted as standard. It says reports are requested, so please send ARIS uploading your decoded pictures in the official ARIS SSTV gallery. And that's at spaceflightsoftware.com/ARIS_SSTV. An SSTV award is also available. To get the award, one should receive and decode at least one picture in the session. The quality of the received image does not have to be perfect, but good enough to be able to identify. And rules for earning the award are available at ARIS.pkz.org.pl. /SSTV.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, you can find more useful information to receive the pictures from the ISS on SSTV, and that's over at amsat-uk.org/beginners/ISS-SSTV, and you can follow ARIS on X for official updates, and that's at x.com/ARIS_INTL. And we'll thank ARIS and AMSAT UK for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. And we're a bit quarter past the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby right now and take a look and see who we've had checking in via some of our other means here. Okay, we did talk to Charlie, K5ENG, and we did see him this weekend. And unfortunately, we went over to Mike B's funeral, his memorial service there, which was on Saturday, and W5MAB. So we're going to miss him, but it was good seeing a lot of the balloon launch team folks and some of the lunch bunch, the old lunch bunch folks. And fortunately, it's under that kind of a thing, but look forward to seeing some of those folks under better circumstances. Okay, we have Dale, WD0AKO. He's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. Does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate him doing that for us. So we have used it in the past, and hopefully we won't have to use it in the future, but it's always good to know it's available. And then from Vern, W0RCR, over there in Winsville, Missouri, he makes our net available on the weekend on Saturday on 1.860 megahertz of full carrier AM, as he likes to say, and that's at 5:30 and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band. And then we heard from Kai in 6ZZO. He's over there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners who listens via the podcast and then calls and checks in on Wednesdays. So we'll appreciate talking to Kai there.
BL-123.
Okay, we did get a check-in there last week via APRS from AI5HC. He told us that he took his kids out in the yard and saw the ISS pass when we talked about it there the week before last. So we're glad to see that he was able to do that. And it looks like we don't have any more APRS messages so far checking in this week. Let's see, from IRC, the Internet Relay Chat System, we have AK0A, Ken, KG4OZW, Clay, KG4WIJ, Brian, NZ9T, Renee, and Bob, K8WX. And then from Echolink, we've got Steve, K85YFC, good evening to him. Hello, Andrew, KC5LWY, down there in Galveston, hope he's doing good this evening. And dress warmly if he's working tonight for when the print's supposed to go through, and it's supposed to get cool in the morning, although it'll be nice to see after seeing 96 degrees again this afternoon. Okay, we've got Damien, AG9P, over there in Oconto, Wisconsin. Good evening to Damien. Hello to Bruce, KK5BO, up there in Roman Forest. Of course, thanks to Bruce, you can follow along with the URLs that we're talking about this evening by going to amsatnet.com, which is our website done by Bruce, so we appreciate that. And also, he's got good award information over there, so if you'd like to find out how to get awards for making satellite contacts, you can find out information on that. We want to say hello to NDOF, N6UTC. He's over there in Long Beach, California. We got him checked in. And as well as Mitch, 80HJ. He's in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, you can participate in the Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place on DMR. And that's on the AmSat Digital Talk Group, 98006. Or YSF Fusion, 11689, and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So be sure and check in there to the Wednesday night net, and you can let those guys know if you're going to be doing any roving, making any grid squares available for satellite operators. And let's see, Mitch says, exceeded key down time. That's not a good thing. Let's see. He got two SSTV images recorded and got the very nice award for doing that there. So congratulations to Mitch on doing that. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Let's see here. See, the 2024 coins are still available, so you can help support Golf and Fox Plus. You can join the AmSat President's Club today. And when you do, you can just go over to www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, we have a call for ARIS proposals from U.S. educators. And this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. The amateur radio on the International Space Station, or the ARIS program, is seeking formal and informal education institutions and organizations, individually or working together, to host an amateur radio contact with a crew member on board the International Space Station. ARIS anticipates that the contact will be held between July 1st, 2025 and December 31st, 2025. Crew scheduling and ISS orbits will determine the exact contact dates. To maximize these radio contact opportunities, ARIS is looking for organizations that will draw large numbers of participants and integrate the contact into a well-developed education plan. The deadline to submit a proposal is November the 17th, 2024. Proposal information and more details, such as expectations, proposal guidelines, and proposal form, can be found at www.aris.org. An ARIS introductory webinar session will be held on Wednesday, October the 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. The Zoom link to sign up is kind of a long one for you. Of course, we got it over there at amsatnet.com. It's us06web.zoom.us/meeting/register/tzcpfuqpqzwigdszioixcpv6xp2ocnbnaoix. L-I-N. And if that doesn't work for you, actually, it looks like that first O that I read might have been a zero. We heard from Vern just now off the phone line, WA0RCR. Again, he transmits our net on 1.860 MHz at full care AM at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. And it's on the top band there on the weekends. So we appreciate Vern putting us there on 160 meters. Okay, back to Eris. The opportunity that's arrived, crew members aboard the International Space Station will participate in scheduled amateur radio contacts. These radio contacts are approximately 10 minutes in length and allow students to interact with the astronauts through a question and answers. An Eris contact is a voice-only communication opportunity via amateur radio between astronauts aboard the space station and classrooms and communities. Eris contacts afford education audiences the opportunity to learn firsthand from astronauts what it's like to live and work in space and to learn about space research conducted on the International Space Station. Students also will have an opportunity to learn about satellite communication, wireless technology, and radio science. Because of the nature of human spaceflight and the complexity of scheduling activities aboard the ISS, organizations must demonstrate flexibility to accommodate changes in dates and times of the radio contact. Amateur radio organizations around the world, with the support of NASA and space agencies in Russia, Canada, Japan, and Europe, present educational organizations with this opportunity. The ham radio organization's volunteer efforts provide the equipment and operational support to enable communication between crew on the ISS and students around the world using amateur radio. Please direct any questions to education at eris-usa.org. And we want to thank Eris for that information.
BL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. And we're just a little past half past the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby, see if we have any local check-ins. All right, sounds like we got everybody aboard for now. Hey, you need these satellite antennas? You can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AMSAT store. And when you purchase through AMSAT, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And you can do that at the AMSAT store. That's right over at amsat.org/product-category/hardware. And as well as helping to keep amateur radio in space, they have a little bit of a discount worked out there for you. So you get that as well. And as well as the new opportunities for Eris, we have amateurs and others around the world listening in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 megahertz worldwide. So if there is an ARIS contact going on in your corner of the world, you can listen in. Okay, we've got the Instituto Comprensivo Elena Cruzessa Corner in Fosso, Italy, has contact direct via IQ3RW. ISS call sign, presently scheduled to be OR4ISS, and the scheduled crew member is Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, and the ARIS mentor is IZ2GOJ, and the contact is Friday, 10/18/2024 at 09:12:01 UTC with a 42 degree elevation. Okay, then we've got the Collegio Cervantes in Torreon, Mexico, telebridge via K6DUE. ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS with crew member Nick Haig, KG5TMV. And the ARIS mentor is VE3TBD. The contact is Friday, 10/18/2024 at 17:02:04 UTC. With a 63-degree elevation. Okay, it's going to be a busy day. And then there's the Teach NW Charter School in Springfield, Oregon. Has direct via KJ7NLL. And then the ISS scheduled call sign will be NA1SS. Crew member will be Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, and then they have KD5MDT listed, and the ARIS mentor is W4NTR. Contact is a go for Friday, 10/18/2024 at 18:30:14 UTC with a 57 degree elevation. And you can watch for a live stream at www.youtube.com/AmperKJ7NLL/streams. And as always, if there is an EVA, a docking, or an ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. The crossband repeater continues to be active from 145.990 MHz up, with a PL tone of 67, and the 437.800 MHz is the downlink frequency on which to listen. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You may talk to one of the astronauts. And note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the listed time. Okay, the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html, and the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we will thank Charlie Safada, AJ9N, one of the ARIS Operation Team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Okay, from IRC, Internet Relay Chat, we've got a check-in there from Clay, and that's his wife, Rachie. He says she's not a ham, but she listens every week. So, good Good evening, Mayor Rachey, and we got you checked in, and good evening, Mayor. Okay, a growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations on hams.at. And by visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, you have the ability to assess the match score between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass, while also being able to identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. You've got Guyana, Aldir, PY1SAD, ZZ1M, operates from Georgetown as 8R1TM between October 12th and November 24th on 160 through 10 meters CW, SSB, and digital modes and via satellites. Okay, you can QSL via Logbook of the World or EQSL or QRZ.com. And it's going to be from DXNL 2427 through October the 9th, 2024. And I want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, and Sat Rover Page Manager for that information. Hey, you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL, it is www.zazzle.com/store/AMSAT_gear. Hey, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. We've got AMSAT Ambassador Activities. AMSAT Ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, hamfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And AMSAT Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, think a 75-minute presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event? Let me know by emailing me at k6lcsclint@gmail.com or calling at 909-999-7287. Clint's never given the exact same show twice. Each of his 150-plus presentations so far has been customized or tailored to his audiences.
DL-123.
Okay, we've got some scheduled events going on that the AMSAT ambassadors will be attending. And one of them will be WU0I. And he will be at Pacificon 2024, the ARRL Pacific Division Conference, and that's October 18th through the 20th, 2024, San Ramon, California. All right, so that's this weekend. Then we've got the 2024 AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting, October 25th through the 27th, 2024, hopefully, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Tampa Rocky Point Waterfront, or if they haven't opened by then, there will be a virtual presentation on Saturday. And let's see, this is 3050 North Rocky Point Drive West, Tampa, Florida, 33607. Okay, there's the Small Sat Education Conference, October 26th to the 27th, and that's at the Kennedy Space Center, and the URL is www.smallsateducation.org. Frank Grab, KK6NOW, will be presenting a classroom activities with the AMSAT CubeSat Simulator, showcasing the work by the CubeSat Sim Educational Materials Team, Paul Graveline, Silent Key, K1YUB, Alan Johnston, KU2Y, Frederick Robb, KK6NOW, Mark Samis, KB2XS, and David White, WD6DRI. Okay, then there's the Stone Mountain Ham Fest, the ARRL State Convention, November 2nd through the 3rd, 2024, at the Stone Mountain, Georgia. And K4RGK is the ambassador there. And then the Oro Valley Amateur Radio Club, November 9th, 2024, at the Marana Middle School at 11285 West Greer Road in Marana, Arizona, 85653. And the URL is www.tucsonhamradio.org/copy-of-hamfest-2022 and by N1UW. And then N1UW will also be the AMSAT ambassador at the Yuma HamCom, February 20th, 22nd, 2025, and that's in Yuma, Arizona. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, K4FCL, Director of AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. The Sonate 2 Digipeater is now operating continuously, though interruptions are possible. Details available over at www.informatic.inforematic.uni.wuerg.de/en/space-technology/projects/active/sonate-2/information-4-radio-amateurs. And we want to thank Sonate 2 team for that information. MO-122's transponder will be off for a few days to evaluate the battery status. And we'll say thanks to Mark Hammond, MHMH, AMSAT Director and Command Station, for that information. And AMSAT has requested that the ARRL add MO-122 and Sonate-2, this is as Sonate, to the list of valid satellites for Logbook of the World. Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at 1/2 the standard yearly rate. And post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and remember to upkeep amateur radio in space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Paul Stotzer, N8HM, and that's N8HM@ARRL.net. Okay. day in the AMSAT News Service is a service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, which resides at 712 H Street, ME, Suite 1653, Washington, D.C., 20002. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, we're going to switch gears a little bit here. Everybody knows, I think, probably by now, the big milestone that happened over the weekend on Sunday, where SpaceX caught their mega rocket booster after their test flight. Okay, this comes from Space Daily and from Space from Boca Chica in October the 13th. SpaceX on Sunday successfully flew the first stage booster of its Starship mega rocket back to the launch pad after a test flight, a technical tour de force that furthers the company's quest for rapid reusability. The Super Heavy booster had blasted off attached to the uncrewed Starship rocket minutes earlier that made a picture-perfect controlled return to the same pad in Texas where a pair of huge mechanical chopsticks reached out from the launch tower to bring the slowly descending booster to a halt, according to a live stream from Elon Musk's SpaceX company. And Elon Musk is calling that Mozilla, and or Mechzilla, and they did a good job there. Not long afterward, the upper stage of Starship splashed down as planned in the Indian Ocean, a development saluted by Musk on X. Ship landed precisely on target, he said, in the vehicle's fifth test flight, second of the two objectives achieved. The successful catching of the booster at the Texas launch pad had company staffers erupting in cheers. Folks, this is a day for the engineering history books, a SpaceX spokesman said on the company's live stream. Liftoff occurred at 7:25 a.m. in clear weather from the SpaceX facility in southern Texas. During its last flight in June, SpaceX achieved its first successful splashdown with Starship, a prototype spaceship that Musk hopes will one day carry humans to Mars. U.S. Space Agency NASA, which congratulated SpaceX on its successful test, is also keenly awaiting a modified version of Starship to act as a lander vehicle for crewed flights to the moon under the Artemis program later this decade. SpaceX said its engineers have spent years preparing and months testing for the booster catch attempt, with technicians pouring tens of thousands of hours into building the infrastructure to maximize our chances for success. Teams were monitoring to ensure thousands of criteria were met both on the vehicle and at the tower before any attempt to return the booster. Had the conditions not been satisfied, it would have been redirected for a splashdown in the Gulf of Mexico as in previous tests. Instead, having been given the green light, the returning booster accelerated from supersonic speeds and the powerful chopstick arms embraced it. Fail fast, learn fast. The large mechanical arms, called Mechazilla by Musk, have generated considerable excitement among space enthusiasts. Video posted by SpaceX showed the booster slowly descending, its bottom wobbling slowly to and fro as some of its 33 powerful engines corrected its descent until the arms closed gently around it and held the huge device in place above the ground. Starship stands 397 feet or 121 meters tall, with both stages combined, about 90 feet taller than the Statue of Liberty. Its Super Heavy booster, which is 233 feet tall, produces 16.7 million pounds or 74.3 meganewtons of thrust, about twice as powerful as the Saturn V rockets used during the Apollo missions. SpaceX's fail-fast, learn-fast strategy of rapid iterative testing, even when its rockets blow up spectacularly, has ultimately accelerated development and contributed to the company's success. Founded only in 2002, it quickly leapfrogged aerospace industry giants and is now the world leader in orbital launches, besides providing the only U.S. spaceship currently certified to carry astronauts. It has also created the world's biggest internet satellite constellation, invaluable in disaster and war zones. But its founding vision of making humanity a multiplanetary species is increasingly at risk of being overshadowed by mass embrace of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump and his alignment with right-wing politics. A clearly energized Musk, wearing an Occupy Mars t-shirt, appeared alongside Trump at a recent rally in Pennsylvania. The company has been openly sparring with the Federal Aviation Administration over launch licensing and alleged violations, with Musk accusing the agency of overreach and calling for its chief, Michael Whitaker, to resign. He's trying to position himself for minimal regulatory interference with SpaceX once Donald Trump becomes president, said Mark Haas, a marketing expert and professor at Arizona State University. But it's a calculated gamble if things go the other way.
CL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. And then yesterday, the NASA probe Europa Clipper lifted off for Jupiter's icy moon. And this is from Space Daily, from the Kennedy Space Center, October the 14th. NASA probe Europa Clipper lifted off from the U.S. Kennedy Space Center on Monday, bound for an icy moon of Jupiter to discover whether it has the ingredients to support life. Liftoff took place aboard SpaceX's powerful Falcon Heavy rocket. The probe is set to reach Europa, one of Jupiter's many moons, in 5.5 years. The mission will allow the U.S. Space Agency to uncover new details about Europa, which scientists believe could hold an ocean beneath its iced-over surface. With Europa Clipper, we're not searching for life on Europa, but we're trying to see if this ocean world is habitable, and that means we're looking for the waters, said NASA official Gina DiBracchio, ahead of the launch. We're looking for energy sources, and we're really looking for the chemistry there so that we can understand what habitable environments might be throughout our whole universe, she added. If life's ingredients are found, another mission would then have to make the journey to try and detect it. It's a chance for us to explore not a world that might have been habitable billions of years ago, like Mars, Europa Clipper program scientist Kurt DeBoer told reporters, but a world that might be habitable today, right now. The probe is the largest ever designed by NASA for interplanetary exploration. Europa Clipper is 30 meters, or 98 feet wide, when its immense solar panels designed to capture the weak light that reaches Jupiter are fully extended. covered 2.9 billion kilometers during its journey, with arrival expected in April of 2030. The main mission will last another 4 years. The probe will make 49 close flybys over Europa, coming as close as 25 kilometers or 16 miles above the surface. It will be subjected to intense radiation, the equivalent of several million chest X-rays on each pass. Some 4,000 people have been working on the $5.2 billion mission for around a decade. NASA says the investment is justified by the importance of the data that will be collected. If our solar system turns out to be home to two habitable worlds, Europa and Earth, think of what that means when you extend that result to the billions and billions of other solar systems in this galaxy. The Europa Clipper will operate at the same time as the European Space Agency, the ESA's JUICE probe, which will study two other moons of Jupiter, Ganymede and Callisto. Okay, this is Marty, WZ5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. We've reached the end of our time. We hope everybody enjoyed this week's net. Look forward to catching everybody next week. So stay safe out there. Keep operating those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. And we look forward to catching everybody next week, which by then we might actually know what's going to happen with the symposium. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman for us, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSat Net.